And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Are you happy right now?
Overjoyed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most cherished hour of your life every week. It's Under the Radar, part of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. With me, as always, my friend and yours, Ian Khan.
I like that cherished hour of your week. That's very fun.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's cherished.
Cherished. Love it.
Your friend of mine, do wherever.
I like the Purdcast just because of Purd Hapley on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, that one's for you then, I guess. Hey, everybody. How's it going? We got a fun show today. I think we got a fun show today.
Yeah.
We have a cherished show today. Yeah.
Cherished. That's like, wow. We are cherished.
It should be all right. Yeah. You want to jump into it?
Yeah, let's go.
Because here's the thing. We got a tweet, and I can't remember who it's from, and I wish I could. And I think I noted, like, I tagged both you in it. It'd be like, put this in the rundown for next week.
Oh, yeah. That was what it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us did. So anyway, someone asked, though. So obviously you're listening. Sorry we can't shout you out properly. But he had a question, that a strategy question, an overall question that we thought would be great for the show is, how do you tank a team without pissing off the entire league? And I think someone corrected it to, like, how do you sell off your team, or how do you rebuild your team without pissing off the entire league? Because you don't necessarily have to tank. I thought it was interesting because, you know, I've done it. I'm doing it. And it's fun. Actually, a lot of fun. And I don't think I've gotten anyone angry along the way. In fact, people are pissing me off because they're trying to rip me off. Because I think they just feel like, okay.
It was Derek McIntyre, by the way.
You found it?
I found it and I went back.
Derek McIntyre. Do you want to read it word for word, or was I?
Hey, okay? Fellas, could you discuss proper etiquette for tanking in a dynasty league? Are there do's and or don'ts? Would you have to meet a weekly minimum AB requirement? Can teams put prospects ahead of MLB guys in lineups? I have some theories. I have some thoughts about this. Very much.
Yeah, go ahead, man. I mean, we'll get into some other stuff eventually. I mean, we got to talk about this Twins coach because I find that wild, and I think that's a perfect Ian topic.
I don't know that I'm interested to hear what the full story of it is. I know that he left. I don't know. I didn't follow it as closely as so you may have to fill me in. I guess the one thing I do like the weekly minimum at bat requirement. There's a league I'm in where people are setting illegal lineups. I don't like that. I really don't like that at all. Where they're not accumulating any points and it's kind of within the rules of the league and no one stopped them. And I'm not commissioner of the league and I like these guys, so I'm not going to say anything, but I don't think that's right. I think you should have to field the lineup as well as you can. In XFL, we have a thing where you only pick up guys once a month. And last year, there was some awkwardness because people were picking up prospects or young guys, not prospects because you're not allowed, but young guys that not filling positions that they needed. And Ron Chandler kind of, I wouldn't say blew a gasket, but kind of made a point that wasn't the way that he wanted things to go. So in that league,
you angered Ron Chandler.
And it wasn't me.
I mean, that's the royal you. I mean, you, everybody listening, if you anger Ron Chandler, you've done something wrong.
Really? Why?
Ron's
so
not an angry guy. Ron's like,
no.
Ron gets this reputation as like this old guard, you know, fantasy, runs tout wars, but he's actually like very forward thinking and fun. And but I mean, for him to get, you know,
he wasn't, DVR, am I, because you're in this league, did I ever set that? Is he maybe not angry, but kind of frustrated? Is that fair?
I think he did what a good commissioner is supposed to do, and he made a point to just let people know that they were running afoul of the rules as they were intended to be written. That's the way I interpreted it.
Cool. Let's go with that. So although the person who was nervous about making Ron mad, maybe that's why I was like, he was mad. Cause you know, the guy who was involved was like, well, I don't want to make him upset. So either way, and it wasn't bad. And Ron, I thought, handled it with grace, and everyone handled it with grace. But in that league every month, like, I am clear that I got to drop players to make sure that I have a full healthy lineup at the beginning of the month. This is the team I share with the great Steve Gardner, sweet Steve Gardner, smart Steve Gardner. So we make sure that, like, if we got to pick up a Michael King or, you know, whatever we got to do, we'll pick up the player, even though in this particular year, we are not going for it at all. We are being the agent for everyone else because next year we're going to be going for it, and the year after, and the year after, and the year after, and the year after. But we make sure to fill our lineups every week. I think that's important. I don't think you should be putting minor league guys who aren't in the majors into major league spots. That's my thinking on that particular point. I think there should be, you should try to play a team the same way that the Oakland A's are playing a team and they're tanking, right? They're certainly not going for anything, but they put out 9 guys to hit every day and they put out their pitchers and they accumulate those stats. I think that's how it should be in dynasty leagues. I'm open to hearing certainly other ideas that may change my mind. DVR?
I think it comes back to what the rules of the league are. I mean, I think the problem with etiquette in a situation like this, at least, is that there's too much room for interpretation. Like, if the rules don't require you to play non-injured players if you have them, right, then I think people can start to, within reason, just do whatever they want. So that's the hard part of this, is you have to make sure that as a group you've talked over what you want your league to be like, and in off seasons or even when issues come up in season, you talk about how to make the situation more fair for the group when these problems come up, because they inevitably come up in every league in some form, right?
Yes.
Like multi-year leagues are, they're some of the hardest leagues to run, just because there's such a long time investment that many people put into something like that. So I think the clearer the rules are about what the requirements are for roster management, the better off you are. If you don't have clear requirements, I guess it comes down to, what do you feel like your obligation is to the rest of the league? If you're rebuilding, I mean, Ian, if you're in that situation, it sounds like you are inclined to at least put a real lineup onto the field. And XFL is a little bit different because of the monthly moves. Most leagues out there probably have weekly. So you have more opportunities to replace those players. I would probably err on that side too. I would want to just put an actual lineup in, compete in the counting stats at least, even if my ratios are going to be bad, and just sort of do right by the league that way, since in rotisserie, what you do, regardless of your standings position, has impact on other teams.
I disagree. I'm actually, so I'm starting Michael Conforto in a dynasty league, in the Scott White dynasty league right now. But here's why I think you can do that in this specific league, is because we have a 12 guy minor league system. And you call guys up, you lose those spots. You can't add anyone to the minor league system except for the draft. And so the draft every year, the order is determined by your standing, how you finish the consolation bracket. So what Scott does is everyone makes the playoffs. The rest of the teams, the 24, I don't know what the numbers are, to be honest. But, whatever, let's say 18 don't. That's not right. Whatever. Let's say just 10 don't, whatever. They go off into a loser's bracket, and the winner of that bracket gets the first pick of the draft.
I like that.
So, you can tank, but if you do that, you're screwed because you'll get picked, like 16 by going, 1-20 or whatever. Not bad, right? So I don't mind. Like, I'm starting Conforto now, but I'm going to call up a couple guys before this is over.
Isn't that I'm just going to be straight with it and give you my opinion. Isn't that a head-to-head league?
Yeah, it's head-to-head.
So every time somebody plays you, they're going to win pretty much, right?
Well, one person didn't.
Yeah, but aren't you hurting your draft position by playing Conforto? It seems like the rule is there to do what it's supposed to do.
No, because I can win at the end of the year, just grab a couple people.
Oh, it's because of the consolation bracket.
It's the consolation bracket, yeah.
Well, it's head-to-head instead of roto. So yeah, in Maki, the rule we have is if you finish last, you don't pick first. The first team that doesn't cash gets the first pick in the reserve draft, and it goes down to the bottom of the standings from there, and then it goes from the last money spot up to the league winner to round out the end of the draft order. So that way there's an incentive for teams that are trying to win the league, those who fall short over the course of the season, to keep making moves, to keep making any sort of adjustment they can to eventually have that higher reserve pick.
I should know this, but so in Maki, if you come in 16th place, you're getting like the 14th pick, is that right?
About 12th, yeah, something like that. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're not picking first for finishing last,
or you're not even picking in the top three.
No,
or in the top five, even. Like it doesn't go the team that came in fifth, sixth, seventh, then the bottom of the draft. It goes like in reverse order.
Yeah, and it wasn't an original rule. It was something that I think maybe three, like this league's almost like it's 10 or 11 years old now. And I think it was 3 or 4 years in, a few people spoke up after one of the seasons where somebody went hard tank and was playing injured guys and prospects. And they said, you know, this is kind of bad for the teams that are contending. What can we do? We put it in advance, and everyone seems to be on board with that as a good, you know, kind of a good incentive to keep things going. I mean, I think that's the hard thing about keeper in dynasty leagues is keeping the entire league engaged for the full season. It's a really tough thing to do, but if you can keep the teams in fifth through eighth place engaged as well, if they're also making pickups in the final weeks of the season, and obviously there's an incentive for teams at the bottom to keep looking for value in September, but I just think having everybody playing as long as possible is better for competitive balance in the league in the long run.
It's complicated.
It is. I mean, you're in a deep league too, and you're looking for the future. And like, if you're going to lose anyway, like Conforto's a $9 player for me next year. You know, what am I going to cut him? Actually, I already cut him once because he was at like $40, and then I got him back at $9 because no one was paying attention, I guess.
Got it. And so, well, nobody wanted him because they're playing the game. And you, is
that's
in
not
this
true.
League, is there...
You got 7 spots on your bench.
Oh, okay, that's what I was asking. But then why? I don't know. I mean,
he's not on IL.
For me, and I play in a lot of different keeper / dynasty leagues, and there are different rules, right? I mean, there are different rules about it. Some people will, but it's the spirit of the game to me. I think that matters a little bit, you know? And in XFL, it actually does matter. You kind of want to be at the bottom of your league every month because that goes in reverse order. So the first pick in the draft goes to the team in last place, which I kind of like. But I'm starting if I have a healthy guy to start, I'm starting him every single time. I don't know. It just feels like the right thing to do for me and for Steve. Like we put in our healthy players because... I think that's a fair discussion. There's so much more that we can get into that we're not going to get into today because that would be the entire show.
Maybe people want that as the entire show.
Maybe, but
I'm not the only team in the league doing this either.
It's not. I mean, I'm not taking a personal shot at you any more than I'm taking a personal shot at my friends in Devil's Rejects who are using this technique. It's especially in that league where. If you finish last, you get the first pick. I understand why they're doing it. But like they have 0 points over the course of the season. Like yeah. they kept an illegal lineup every week. And I don't like that. Like,
well, do you not like the rule? I mean, can't you change the rule that if you have like say you have Conforto in there, say you're at least fielding a quote unquote legal lineup with all the spots filled, you get 0 points?
I would say that you should have to do that for sure, without question. And that you should do that. Yes, I definitely think you should have to do that. And in the league that I commission, we make sure of that.
But I don't think people get mad. I mean, maybe someone like you, like I've been on both sides of this. And if I'm playing someone who's got a couple IL spots guys in there, I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, I don't think this falls under pissing someone off because like everyone's going to get a shot at him. I know it's the randomness of the schedule maker, but you know, you have just as good a shot of facing this person as I do and getting that easy win.
Well, I mean, I'm also just sort of out on head-to-head as a good format for fantasy baseball. And I know people out there play it and like it. And if you play it and like it, that's totally fine. But I just think it's a weird way to play.
You know, it's funny. Head-to-head, there was some talk of this on Twitter yesterday. I think it was Michael Govier was talking about it. And then Ryan Bloomfield, who's great. Both those guys are great. And Bloomfield said, I think somebody said, how about head-to-head without playoffs? How would you feel about that? Would you like that better? Head-to-head that at the end of the season, you don't have to play the playoffs. I mean, because people are like, I hate head-to-head because you're in first place all season. Then you get to the playoffs and you have a bad week and you're out. It's bull crap, right? I just stopped a beep. You know what my answer to that is? It's kind of baseball, right? I mean, that's kind of how baseball works. Like, you play a whole season, you make it to the playoffs, you have 100, you know, like the Seattle Mariners in 2001, 116 wins, and then they end up losing in the playoffs. And it's like, all right, well, it's like the cruelty of baseball in that way. So I think it's actually appropriate. I do it head to head roto. I created a head to head roto league in 2010, which I then left 3 years ago because I was too busy, like with too many other teams. I was playing in this one. I was still in Tout Wars head to head, and I was like, I can't have two head to head leagues, and there's too much headaches of dealing with as commissioner of this league, and I'm just too busy. And so I took a couple of years off, and then a spot opened up this year, and I joined it back up. I'm enjoying it. I really am. It's an added little bonus on Sunday where you're like, oh, this actually matters. Like, is Trey Turner going to get that RBI at the end of the game against Matt Gaines? Matt Gaines had Trey Turner. We were tied in RBI. He ends up getting an RBI because Kenley Jansen blew my save for Spencer Strider in every league that I had after Strider went 7. I'm sure there are others who have that same feeling about Spencer Strider and that blown safe, but also made it so that we were tied, so I would have gotten half a point, and then he got the extra point. It's kind of fun. Like, there is fun to it. Like, it can be enjoyable as well.
I think I would like it better if Major League Baseball made a balanced schedule. If we lived in a world where Major League Baseball's schedule was 6 games for every single team every week, every team gets one off day out of 7 days. And then you knew, going into the weekly format, they have 6 games. You know, everyone's going to have kind of a balanced opportunity at maxing out playing time. Obviously, roles and understanding how roles work and who shares and who doesn't, that becomes a factor. That would help. You know, I think part of the issue I have is the imbalanced schedule. Part of it's the ratio categories over such a small period of time. But there's some other tweaks you could make. I mean, I know there are football leagues that run total points, and then they also run the head-to-head format, and they do head-to-head sometimes as an all-play. There's all these different variations you can put together that can make things more balanced. I think if I were playing in a head-to-head league, I'm more of the, I want the team that was the best team over the course of the full season to get the largest share of the prize. I would prefer to not have playoffs, but I know some people also extend their playoffs. Instead of doing 1 week, you have a 2 week matchup. So if you tweak it, I can get on board. I don't like it in the simplest ways that it's played.
Well, here's this. Right before I left that league, which is weird to leave a league that you started with all of your friends and family, like my cousins, my friends, and they're like, really, you're leaving? Sorry, I'm leaving. Sorry, guys. But the league was strong and it stayed together, which I was proud of and happy for. And then when a spot opened up, I came back and they actually gave me my old team back and moved the guy who took over my team to the other team. It was very sweet. What we did, because it felt weird that like a team could be in first place all season, is the buy-in was $100 and we moved that buy-in to $120. So whoever came in first place over the regular season would just get $240 off the top. Mm-hmm. And that made it kind of fun. So then if you win first place in the regular season and then first when you win the championship as well, you got like $600 for the championship, $240, so you get $840, you know? And if you came in fourth, I think you just get your money back. You get 50 because there's 4 teams. So it goes 600, 300, 150, 50. It's probably not the math. It was something slightly different. It's some a little bit more. You would still get that 240 at the top for your regular season. It could be what happens to the Yankees this season because it looks like they're going to maybe have the best record in baseball. The New York Yankees, who are so much fun to watch. Oh my goodness gracious me.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, I got banned from talking about the Brewers on the Athletic Baseball Show for an indefinite period of time, so I'm going to drop this right here on this podcast because I can. What if What if the Brewers knock out the Mets in the NL,
yeah,
make it to the World Series, and then beat the Yankees in the World Series? How much joy would that bring me?
is this like anti-New York vibe, or just the idea that you'd be beating what right now looks like the two best teams in baseball?
It's the narrative, right? It's David versus Goliath twice in the same postseason, and yeah, David winning twice. That's the part. I don't have an anti-New York thing. I like New York.
Then I would say add the Dodgers to that mix.
Oh, they're going to be on the list too. They're permanently on the list.
Excuse me, though.
I hope at some point the Brewers can be the team that eliminates the Cardinals either from the playoffs or is the team that knocks them out in the regular season that keeps it from going to the playoffs. Like I have a long list of teams that I want revenge against as a fan, and Cardinals and Dodgers are always on that list.
Here you go, DVR. No, I'm just going to take DVR through a little exercise here.
Go ahead.
This is how it's going to play out. In the wild card round, you're going to be up against the St. Louis Cardinals. How do you feel about that? You're going to beat the St. Louis Cardinals in that game. You're going to send Yadier Molina to the end of his career, Pujols to the end of his career, and the St. Louis Cardinals home. Bye-bye. In the semifinal round, or whatever we call it now, the division championship round or whatever, you're going to play the Los Angeles Dodgers in a five-game series. I don't know if it's five or seven. And with your starting pitching of Corbin Burns, Woodruff, and Freddie Peralta, who has returned now from injury, you're going to win that series 3-1 to get to the championship series against the New York Mets, where you will sweep those New York Mets in four games. So you will send home the St. Louis Cardinals, then you're sending home the Los Angeles Dodgers. The New York Mets have gone home. You go to the World Series, where you will play the New York Yankees, who have finally made it back to the World Series for the first time since 2009. So far, how are you feeling, DVR?
Good.
Good? Just good?
But now I'm hungry, and now I want the last possible prize.
Here's how it goes. You got to play a 7-game series against the New York Yankees. The Yankees will have the best record in baseball, so you're going to end up playing 4 games at New York, 3 games in Milwaukee. Game one, Garrett Cole pitches. The Yankees win game one. The Brewers come back to steal game two in a 4-3. Then you go back to Milwaukee, and you win game three. You're up 2-1. Game four against the New York Yankees. You've got Burns coming back on 3 days rest. You win game four. You're now up 3-1. How are you feeling right now, DVR? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling excited? Or you feel like it's all going to slip out from under you?
Oh, I'm feeling like it's all going to slip out from under me.
Fantastic. Game five, Brandon Woodruff comes in. He's facing nasty Nestor Cortez. Nando DeFino is screaming that the mustache will save the day. In game five, Brandon Woodruff throws a complete game shutout. The Milwaukee Brewers win in 5 games against the New York Yankees. They are the world champions. How you feel, DVR?
Like I'm dreaming.
Could happen.
it's just so funny looking at those teams because it doesn't seem possible that they could beat a gauntlet of teams that spend 200 plus on their payroll like that, right? It seems far-fetched, but they at least have the pitching to do it. It comes down to health, and it comes down to making a couple more moves.
The relievers to do it, too.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Because this is why I did this. Are you happy right now?
Overjoyed.
There you go. It's all about balance in life, everybody. If you can get somebody like DVR to be in an overjoyed state, you just got to grab it. You got to take that moment.
Listen to that joy in his voice, too.
I know, right? Overjoyed. There's your opening for the show. Are you happy now?
You guys watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No, I should, though. Do you, Nando, you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I celebrate anything Andy Samberg.
I'm going to put that show on the list of shows that I had pretty low expectations for that I ended up laughing at a lot. I enjoyed it.
Is it on Hulu?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I just got Hulu. I just bought Hulu. So that we could, Nicole, my wife was just like, I want to watch the Steve Martin show with Martin Short. And so we got Hulu, and then we realized that Modern Family, we can watch all of Modern Family without fast forwarding through the commercials all the time. So we have watched Modern Family, but you're saying Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give a movie recommendation. We haven't done this in a while. On HBO Max, there is a movie that is leaving at the end of July on HBO Max. That is an old movie from 1991. That's a long time ago. I am sure that DVR has not seen this movie. I would expect that Nando DeFino has not seen this movie because he was only 13 years old when this movie came out. This is one of the...
I mean, they have DVDs and stuff.
Preeminent movies of my life and kind of helped me shape my philosophy of life, for sure.
Emmanuel in the Orient.
Close.
Problem Child 2.
That's the one. Defending Your Life by Albert Brooks, starring Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep and Rip Torn, who is freaking hysterical.
I've seen this. Is this the one where he goes to heaven and there's a...
It's not heaven. It's not heaven. It's the in-between place where you review your life and you have to defend your life. Pure
yeah,
comedy.
I remember. I've seen this.
It's not like... And I promise you, it will make you just cry with joy.
What was that movie with the guy who died in the drag race in the 50s and came back and haunted that guy?
That I don't know.
To get to heaven.
No idea.
Oh, all right, that one's going to kill me now.
Sorry. Yeah, and we're getting into that dangerous mode.
And then
the kid
tried to do the drag race, and he, I don't want to spoil it, but you know.
Yep, my fault. All my fault.
Well, either way, Defending Your Life is leaving in July. Watch the movie. Please watch the movie. It will improve your life. It will improve your life. If you watch that movie, you will have a better feeling about life and a better understanding, perhaps, of what life is all about. I think. And it's funny. It's not like deep at all. I mean, it is deep, but it's just great. It's just great.
All right. That's our segment on how not to piss off your league mates when you're trying
to. There you
to
go.
Take.
Defending your life.
Diver. I feel like I don't think we've answered his question, but maybe we could just do that on Twitter so we can get some other stuff in here.
Yeah. Let's get some other stuff in there. I mean, we certainly gotten into it and thank you for the question. Wait, hold on. What's his name again? He's Derek. That's right. I was like, he's got a name. Derek McIntyre. Nice big smile on his face too. I like that guy. Every once in a while, he asks us a question. I was like, I like that guy. He's got a nice smile. I like that guy.
I want to get into Jaren Duran.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
And we might be a week late on him, but he's an interesting spot. We talked about him a little bit going up, going down, batting leadoff when he's up and then getting sent down. I feel like right now, I think he's going to stay up and he's going to hit leadoff for the rest of the year for the Red Sox. Am I wrong about that?
You might be right about that, but you might be wrong about that. It was an interesting pickup this weekend in the main event because it was like, do we pick him up? Because his price should go down because he's not going to be playing in Toronto. Also, Tanner Houck did not play in Toronto, which is why the Blue Jays won that game last night. I mean, Houck comes in and closes that game. Houck's not there. Blue Jays win. It's a big advantage for the Blue Jays because every time a team comes in, two or three players, it seems, are not on the team. It's really
no kidding,
hard.
Right? Yeah,
it's a big advantage. It's a big advantage for the Blue Jays. Houck closes that game.
DPR, which Brewers are unvaccinated in case they face each other in the World Series? Who's not going to be able to play against
Toronto? Wow, that'd be so intense.
I don't know. I think that's if you're a team that hasn't played them in interleague in Toronto, you're sitting there, you're like, well, hopefully someone just knocks them out for us so we don't have to miss these guys that are refusing.
Seriously,
to do this.
What happens in the playoffs?
Please, Corbin Burns, be vaccinated.
He's not going. Jaren Duran is not there, not playing. It's a bummer for him because he's been hot and he's been running. I'm at this place, man, where I'm like, if you steal bases. Like I said this in my mini rant last week. It wasn't a rant, but my mini ideas that I wanted to share about how you think about the game. Really, it's just absolutely true. Like guy, like Freddie Freeman, who we're going to talk about in a minute at some point in the show. Freddie Freeman just finishes this whole thing about crying in Atlanta and everything else. And then Kershaw calls him out and says, I hope you don't think we're a second rate team. What's the first thing he does? He singles and steals second base. It's your way of getting back to being a baseball player. I'm telling you, I said this about Javier Baez like a month ago, remember? Or 3 weeks ago. I was like, hey, Baez is about to get good again. Why? Because he's stealing bases. He's feeling free. He's feeling comfortable enough to take a risk to fail, right? That's the idea. I'm not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid to get thrown out. Once you start playing the game like that, things loosen up for you. Right. So Duran running constantly. It's a really good sign for a baseball player.
Is he a must add? How about that?
Yeah, I would add Jaren Duran. I don't know. I mean,
but you were hesitant.
No, I'm adding. If you can add Jaren Duran, I would even add him in a 12 team right now just to throw him on the bench. It's like when I added John Birdie a few weeks ago in that head to head league, I was like, look, he's stealing bases. Like as long as he's stealing bases,
no kidding, man.
He's of value. Like he brings value to the team. Stolen bases and saves, like anytime you could pick up Lou Trevino, picked up Lou Trevino everywhere this weekend. Cheap as hell. He got two saves over the weekend. Why did I pick him up?
AJ Puck.
No, it's not going to be AJ Puck. It looks like it's going to be Lou Trevino.
Well, it's very obvious now. Yeah, I thought it was going to be.
Right, but so Lou Trevino is like, pick up saves and steals wherever you can because you can always trade saves and steals. Made a big trade with Matt Deutsch and GDD this week. DVR, did you see that trade?
I saw that trade.
Gave him steals and saves that he needed.
Yeah, you did.
He sounds unimpressed. All right, DVR, we'll dive into this relationship you have with Matt Deutsch later in the show.
Matt Deutsch, very nice man. Very
nicest
nice
guy in the
and,
world.
And good trade. And got Riley Green. He got Sir Anthony Dominguez. And he got, what's that? Why can I not remember the star pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, Logan Webb? Why does it take me an extra 3 seconds to have to recover that in my mind? I don't know. I own him on so many teams, Logan Webb. But so that's how I feel about Jaron Duran. Do you pick up Jaron Duran? I'm a yes on the pickup on Jaron Duran. DVR?
Yep. Does a little bit of everything. I think he plays a lot. I don't think they need to play Jackie Bradley Jr. as much as they have to this point going forward. They can make him a backup outfielder.
Sounds like a fake injury is coming.
No.
Bradley Jr., ankle maybe, hamstring.
They don't need to. He'd be a really good fourth outfielder. And then the question is when Kike comes back. But also, like, Franchi Cordero, who I was super excited about a month ago, he's not really doing it. He's not really doing it so much. So, you know, teams look for guys who are doing good stuff. Like this guy Bly in Pittsburgh. He's playing every day. Bly is, what's his first name? That's his last name. His first name is Bly. Bly, what is it? I picked him up in Tout Wars. Hold on. So I have him.
Bly right Madras.
Yeah, Madras. He's a weird name. B-L-I-G-H, Madras. Bly Madras. I didn't even know what a Bly Madras is, but I do know that he's playing.
Is he Irish?
Maybe.
I went to school with a Tommy Bly. He was super Irish.
It was B-L-I-G-H. His last name was B-L-I-G-H. Maybe that's it.
It's Tommy Bly's son.
Super Irish. I'm the one that invented the shepherd's pie panini yesterday.
What is a shepherd's pie panini? Right. Sorry, everybody. I really want to know.
Actually, I didn't make this one a panini. I did it on a bread that could have been a panini. So this was a sloppy
was ciabatta?
Joe. No, it was sourdough. It was sourdough.
It's too bad. Ciabatta is the best kind of bread.
No, shepherd's pie filling on sourdough. Toasted sourdough with some sharp cheddar. Very good.
Oh, man. That's like Wisconsin all the way, babe. But so it's really about guys who are getting the opportunities to play. And you just got to roll with it. And you got to say, hey, maybe this will work. And then it doesn't work. And then you go, all right, well, let's try it again. Let's try another one. Like Diego Castillo, the middle infielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates, picked him up in Devil's Rejects last week. Didn't start him this week, but he hit 4 home runs. And I'm like, yo, he hit 4 home runs. And then this week I'm trying to decide, what am I going to do with the second base spot that John Segura is out of now and has been a constant problem in this league because we're fighting for the championship, Wilson Caraman and I.
Did you pick up Hoy Park?
No, did not pick up Hoy Park. Did not pick up Hoy Park because I don't love where he's hitting in the order. Picked up Josh Harrison.
Picked up Josh Harrison.
Had a good game last night.
Good timing.
Yeah, and he's in the lineup and then traded with Tom Trudeau. Made a trade with Tom Trudeau yesterday. finally made a trade. I could read that trade for everybody if you want to hear it. It's a significant dynasty trade. Three players going each way, really helping both teams. Like legitimately, it is a good trade. And he sent two versions of an offer. I spoke to Wilson Caraman, and I said Wilson was like, "No, we're not doing it." I said, "Let's look at this again. It's really a fair offer." And we ended up making one little tweak. He offered us. It's a one catcher OBP league. He offered us Travis d'Arnaud because our Sal Perez is hurt. And d'Arnaud has been on and off the wire, believe it or not, in this league because it's one catcher and some people are just putting minor league guys in there. Travis d'Arnaud, he gave us Chris Taylor and he originally offered us Kikuchi for Christian Vasquez for d'Arnaud, Nathan Eovaldi and Adam Frazier. And the Eovaldi is the piece that he wants. He wanted the good pitcher, and we've got lots of good pitching. So it ended up being Travis d'Arnaud, Chris Taylor, and Carlos Santana coming to us for Christian Vasquez, Nathan Eovaldi, and Adam Frazier going to his team.
Man, that is a collection of six players I've never had on any of my teams.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I feel like that's like all ceiling guys. But maybe all floor guys.
Yeah, but also okay, all maybe ceiling. All floor. Yes, yes.
Well, it's both. Taylor, I guess it's both. You know, like
there's not ceiling. I don't know. There's not that. I mean, it's all like solid floor. Like I like those players. The Chris Taylors of the world. The Chris Taylors of the world are the Ariel Cohen players of the world, where it's just sort of like he's gonna play every day. He's going to get you runs. He's going to get you RBIs. He's going to steal you 10 to 15 bases, hit you 10 to 15 home runs. So it's not gorgeous. It's not sexy, but it's effective. It's just an effective play. Nathan Eovaldi is very good. I love Nathan Eovaldi. If I didn't have Nathan Eovaldi in almost every other league that I'm in, I probably wouldn't have done it. Although I'm starting to trade him in more leagues, so I'm running out of Eovaldi's, but I still have him in two other dynasty leagues. So
it's
in that
like
head
Eovaldi's gonna you, like you know what he is. You know what I mean? Like
what is Eovaldi?
Okay, good ratios, throws hard, but doesn't get a ton of strikeouts.
1 to 100 with the top pitcher being Corbin Burns at 1, and the 100th pitcher being Kikuchi, even though I think he's 120. Where would Eovaldi land for you, DVR?
By about 30 when he's healthy.
Yeah, that's what I think. 30 to 35. Nando DeFino.
Probably more like 35 to 40 for me.
Okay. So then,
but I mean, I would rather go like
way off.
Mitch Keller, who's like, you know, like I want the guys who are going to break through, and Eovaldi's not going to break through, I guess. And that's always my problem. But you know,
but he's really good. I mean, Eovaldi's good. Like,
but he's also been bad.
Not really. Not in the last 4 years, he hasn't. He has been a solid citizen for these. I've never said that before about a baseball. That's a solid citizen. That's a guy you can count on to give you. He'll blow up twice a year and give up 7-8 runs. Otherwise, he's going to give you 6-7 innings with 7 strikeouts, 8 strikeouts. He's not going to walk hardly anybody. He'll give up 2 runs and he'll occasionally get the win sometimes, and he won't. He's a really good number 3-4, great number 4, good number 3 on a fantasy team. You know, I mean, I like Eovaldi. Smart play for Trudeau and his partner to take advantage of the fact that we really need that second base slot covered. Chris Taylor gives us that. Darno is an upgrade on Vasquez. And Carlos Santana, who knows what happens to him? He's been getting hotter. And, you know, you may see Ty France getting a little time at second base because Adam Frazier has stunk. I don't know how he's been in regular baseball, but in fantasy baseball, yuck. 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 DVR, what do you think of that trade?
Eovaldi was bad from 2012 to 2016.
Yeah, but it's been 6 years since then.
I'm just saying he was.
Right.
It's in him.
I think he was on the Marlins to start. Dodgers for a minute. He was on the Rays.
Your New York Yankees.
That's where I fell in love with him, was watching him pitch for the Yankees because he's throwing 100 miles an hour. And he's also like a horse up there. Like he just doesn't get tired. He just keeps going. I really like Eovaldi. I just think he's a real solid player. It's really Eovaldi for Chris Taylor. It's really, I mean, take Adam Frazier out, take Carlos Santana out. It's Chris Taylor and Darno for Eovaldi and Vasquez. And we're within 5 or 6 points of the championship. And I want to win this league because I've never won this league. My partner won this league a couple of years before I joined.
I'm not my question. You win. Like, you're like Adam. You've got that Adam Ronis in you. Like, you win.
Well, trying, so not yet.
Moves.
No. But I'm asking DVR, what do you think of that trade? Oh, no, you're good. DVR, what do you think of that trade?
I like it. I think Taylor's pretty underrated.
Yep.
The versatility of just anybody that's a good enough player to be in your lineup all the time that can play 2 or 3 spots. I think that's still, we've talked about this for years. I think it's definitely still underpriced somehow on draft.
Underpriced, 100% underpriced. Like in that trade, we got Josh Rojas for... in the Corbin Burns trade that we made with Matt Deutsch. I'm so excited to have Josh Rojas on the team because he's got second base, shortstop, third base, outfield. Like, he's my bench player. Like, if I don't have to go to the wire to get a guy. If one of my guys is hurt, I know Rojas is going in that week. It's so valuable. People need to remember that, especially in NFBCs where, you know, your roster spots are tight. Having a guy that you can just pop. I have Chris Taylor on our main event team. Rob Murschak and I have Chris Taylor on that main event team. He's been in the middle infield most of the season. We had Mookie Betts injury. We have Ty France injury. We have Jesse Winker prop, Harrison Bader injury. We just move Taylor to where we need. It's fabulous. It's immensely valuable.
Where are you guys on Rich Hill? I know he's not on the rundown, but I'm still, he's to me,
buying
you,
him
put him, you put him against Eovaldi, and Rich Hill to me is a little more intriguing. I'm not saying I would take him over Eovaldi, but I think like you're going to get more strikeouts, possibly better ratios.
maybe better, maybe
comparable ratios.
Yeah, and much cheaper for sure. And I'm picking up Rich Hill in every league to start week to week. You know, he's a great streamer because nobody wants to keep him, it seems. So when he's there, I'll grab him unless he's playing the Yankees or playing, you know, one of those teams. But they seem to be playing the A's every week for some reason. And Rich Hill's great against those situations. Rich Hill, but he's only going to give you five innings, yep, maybe six. Yep. He'll get you five, six strikeouts. He'll get you an occasional win, though. So he's, you know, he's so old, man. God, he's old. He's like 43. Still doing it. It's very impressive.
Yeah, he's ancient.
He also kind of looks old.
He's no Bly Madras.
He's like those guys back in the 70s. If you're a baseball card, both of you are baseball card guys. Those guys in the 70s that just look like plumbers.
What? Yeah.
What?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They've got the mustaches, and they look like they're about 15 pounds overweight, and they're out there like Dick Tidrow. Dick Tidrow looked like my plumber growing up.
In defense of Dick Tidrow, sports science in the 70s wasn't quite what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
They were still transitioning from this is a full-time job kind of thing, too, you know?
He was a World Series champion, two-time World Series champion for the New York Yankees.
Bly Madras, now that you've gotten me obsessed with him, his Twitter is Bly Guy. He's a leap year baby.
Does that mean he's born on February 29th?
He was born on February 29th, 1996.
What?
How about that?
So he is legitimately, how old
five
is
years
he?
Old?
He is 5 years old. 20, that's Pirates of Penzance, baby.
4, 8, 12, 16. He just turned six.
A lot of upside with that guy. He's only 6 years old. He's already in the show. He's 6 years old and he's already in the show. I do want to mention, I really want to talk about this Freddie Freeman business. What is your vibe on the Freddie Freeman weekend that happened? It was like bizarre and beautiful and sad and strange. That's like how I would describe it.
Guy who graduated high school and kept coming back to the cafeteria for me. Like, get over yourself, man. I don't know. I don't know the guy. Maybe he really was all torn up about everything.
Oh, he was torn up. And then he fired his
then
agent.
Then don't go to the Dodgers. Yeah, then all right, well, there you go.
Then he fired his agent, man. That sucks.
Go play for the Marlins if you want to stay close to Atlanta. Or, you know,
no,
like, you
he wanted to be an Atlanta Brave. Like, he wanted to be a Brave for life. Like, he, and people who, like, I work with a lot of people around the country, right? And people down in North Carolina. Some really smart people down in North Carolina that I work with.
Well, it's a patronizing accent that you're doing, though.
That's how the guy talks.
You can't his call name him is, smart.
No, listen, Zeb Smathers. His name is Zeb Smathers. He's the mayor of a small town, Milltown, down in North Carolina. Zeb Smathers is one of the smartest guys you ever met.
Zeb Smathers also a leap year baby.
he's only 5 years old. Zeb Smathers is going to be a senator from the state of North Carolina. Just you wait. He lives in North Carolina, and he loves the Braves. People in South Carolina love the Braves. People in Atlanta love the Braves. People in Tennessee love the Braves. So, like, he was like, it is heartbreaking when I saw that Freddie Freeman fired, goes back to Atlanta, and then the next day fires his agent. Wow, that's wild. DVR, what did you think about that?
Unexpected, I guess, because, you know, you never know at the time that free agency type things happen. You don't know how much player is pushing for, you know, max dollars versus a specific location, right? So it gives me the impression that Freddie was more on the do whatever it takes to keep me here, and that's not what his agent necessarily did based on the outcome. Or maybe this is on the front office in Atlanta still, right? I mean, they had a choice in this.
I don't think this is on the front office in Atlanta. I think that this is on the agent.
You think the agent didn't meet Freddie's request to bring whatever Atlanta was asking for, like to meet in the middle on something, and then they said, okay, we can't go any higher than this. We're going to trade for Matt Olson, and sorry, you can go somewhere else.
Here's a story, just in case anyone doesn't know what's going on. As reported in March, Casey Close, lead negotiator for Excel, which is Freeman's agency, contacted Alex Anthopoulos, the head of baseball operations for the Braves, and presented two proposals on behalf of Freeman, significantly higher than the $135 million offer the Braves had offered him, giving the team an hour to respond. The Braves bumped their offer to $140 million, not close to Close's proposals. When that deadline passed, sources say Close and Anthropoulos agreed that there were no offers on the table. The Braves, believing that Close's deadline meant that Freeman was about to conclude a deal with another team, likely the Dodgers, quickly pivoted to make a blockbuster deal for Oakland Athletics star Matt Olson, signed 27-year-old Olson to an 8-year, $168 million contract. This effectively ended any chance Freeman would return. That's Buster Olney. From Buster Olney. That's great.
So basically, in
you
this case,
hour.
The agent used the tactic that Freddie probably wasn't on board with because it was a bluff at the time.
Straight up bluff.
Atlanta just said, well, we need a first baseman and we're just going to have to trade for Matt Olson before someone else does, because if we miss out on Olson and then you leave to this other offer that we think you have, then we're in a really bad spot. We just won the World Series and, you know, we're not going to fall off and lose 4 or 5 wins at first base.
And on top of that, to add to that, yeah, he says... The Braves say, as soon as you sign with the Dodgers, the price for Olson goes up.
Right.
Because now we're desperate. Now we can say to Oakland, hey, just take this guy, and this guy. We don't have to. We can go back to Freddie. So if you want to rebuild and you want to get value for this guy. So I get where the Braves are coming from that side of the story. And I get why that's a bad, don't do that. You can't do that when the guy's going to come back to Atlanta and literally spent 3 days crying. He's so sad. And he went home. I don't get it. I think it's time for him to shift his perspective. I'm not going to be
But if you're the Dodgers, you got to be like, dude, come on. Grow up. You're here.
It's kind of what Kershaw was getting at, I think, right?
Yeah, more respectfully, people were saying that Kershaw was slamming Freeman. I didn't get... Does anybody have that real quick, like what Kershaw said? I thought that was kind of nice. He was like... Hey, I know you're feeling it, and it was, wow, a lot of big feelings. Like, you know, he's using, like, really good, like, caring, empathetic language.
He called them second fiddles.
Yeah, we hope you don't think of us as second fiddles. And he does, clearly, he does. He wishes that he was there hugging Chipper Jones, and, you know, he misses his, it's like his family. I get it, too. It's very human. It's kind of, like, beautiful and human. The whole thing. I enjoyed watching this weekend to see the outpouring of love for him and to see his reaction to it. It got to be a bit much by Sunday, I have to admit. When he was still crying on Sunday, I was a little surprised. It's like, I don't know if he'll still be crying by Sunday. But he'll be better the next time he comes. One other thing I wanted to get to. Last night, the Yankee game, I was at my son's game, who pitched for the first time, pitched really well, but that's another story for another time. Came home, watched the end of the Yankee game. Notice that Aaron Boone was thrown out. Did you guys see that Aaron Boone got thrown out yesterday?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
Here's what happened.
It didn't really make my radar.
You're missing out.
Aaron Boone was ejected from a game.
Yes, but when I tell you the story.
I had Brewers Rays, and then I had
Giants
Tigers.
Oh, both great games. How was that? How did Baz look? Let's hold off on Aaron Boone for a second. How did Baz look?
I thought he looked really good. I thought Woodruff looked really good, too. I was kind of worried that command might be a little shaky for him coming off of that Renaud syndrome, because it, you know, causes some like numbness or tingling, loss of feeling sometimes. So it seemed like both of those guys looked really good to me. I was encouraged by both.
And Rodon, I did not watch the Rodon start. I watched the last inning where Duval came in and saved Brebbia's skin in the eighth. How did Rodon look? Does he look just fully back now?
I caught more of the end of that game. I think I got in around the seventh inning because I saw Joe Jimenez pitch and he looked really good. I saw Riley Green was making some pretty good decisions in at bat. Like that was, it looked like a very polished veteran taking a late game plate appearance as opposed to, you know, a young rookie.
Kid is really solid. Kid is a really good player. And a really good trade chip to use because you can dream on him. Dreaming is good. Aaron Judge, his first time up, strike 2 to 3 inches below the line. Young umpire, too, like early 30s, blonde, like tough young guy, looking strong, calling strikes on Aaron Judge at Judge's ankles. Now, if it was Altuve, it would have been at his hips, but it was Aaron Judge, so it was at his ankles. Strike three. And Judge kind of winced, but didn't do more, as judges want to do. His next at-bat, different pitcher, wasn't no longer Montas. It was a lefty throwing. Threw strike two call. I saw all this on Twitter. I didn't see somebody put it all together. You could put in Boone ejection judge and you'll see everything I'm describing. The strike two was not just at his ankles, but also 2 inches inside. And Judge turned around and said, "Are you kidding me?" And Judge never, ever does that. Are you kidding me? That is not a strike. Like, with a little bit of anger. And then he shakes his head and gets back in the box, which is why they should give him the money. And we don't want a Freddie Freeman situation, though I doubt Judge is going to cry the same way Freeman did. Only because he doesn't love New York in the same way that apparently Freddie Freeman just loves Atlanta and the Braves. Third at bat, strike two, 3 inches below the zone. Judge says, "No, that's a ball." Boone starts losing it from the dugout. Full savages in the box. John Boy's going to do one, going to happen. And he's like, and the umpire looks at him and says, "Stop or I'm going to throw you out." And Boone is like, "Oh, you're going to throw me out because I am not going to stop. Are you kidding me? You are the worst. That is low. All of them are low. You're going to see it. He sees it. This guy sees it. This guy sees it." And I'm like, if I'm Aaron Judge and I'm watching Aaron Boone, not like kind of like, "Oh, I'm going to give you my point of view about this," but no, "You're going to have to throw me out because I'm going to embarrass you so wildly because you've embarrassed yourself." It was awesome to watch. And my feelings about Boone as a manager have grown because his confidence has grown. His confidence has grown to the point that he didn't throw his gum. He took the gum out of his mouth and he said, I'm about to, it's like a guy who's like, "I'm going to kick your ass now, fella. Like, actually, no, I'm just going to beat you. And I'm going to stay out here and I'm going to beat you and you're going to have to throw me out." If I'm Aaron Judge, I may want to stay in New York just to keep Aaron Boone as my manager, though I do think San Francisco has a really good shot to get him.
You want to keep going? All right.
Well, the only thing I would say is please watch how players think. Please, DVR gave me a little bit of a hard time. He was like, you didn't give me a hard time, but you were like, "Ian, you're trained at this. Like, this is what you do." Here's what I'll say. If you actually are watching the players think, since we talked about it last week, if you spend your time watching the players think and you're conscious about it, you'll be 25% an expert at it within a week. Within 3 weeks, if you're really looking at it, you'll be 50% an expert. And within 3 months, you'll be at 75%, and then the rest, who knows? But it is a skill set as a fantasy player to watch how people think. I really believe that. I really believe that. So please practice it. Just practice it. Just do it. It makes the game far more fun. Try to figure out what the pitcher is thinking. Try to figure out if he believes in himself or if he's scared. Simple stuff.
You should talk to Joel Pinheiro.
Okay. Well, you're going to be gone soon for a little while.
Yeah, bring him on. Run some of the stuff by him.
I don't need to. I know it's right.
I think it'd be interesting. I mean, you're talking about, you think you know what the pitchers are thinking, but maybe he could, you know, add some insight to that.
I think I know what the pitchers are thinking. I think I know what the hitters are thinking. I think I know what the managers are thinking when they're walking out to take out their, like, if you watch Cash in Tampa Bay, that guy knows how to take a pitcher out. If he wants to get the guy out fast because he doesn't like how it's going, he runs out there because he's trying to shift the momentum of the game. It's all momentum. It's all keeping momentum in place. In the game last night, we were up 5-1. The kids were up. I wasn't up. I was on the other side of the fence. One of our players got picked off. The momentum shifted to the other side. Then the pitcher on our team made a ridiculous play, like a diving, like it was like a rocket back, and he like reached behind him, brought the momentum back to our side. It's all momentum, and it's the masters of the momentum that are the great managers. That's why I still think Dave Martinez is the locks. I still think he's a bad manager. I know he won the World Series, but I still think he's a bad manager, and why I think that Aaron Boone, with his confidence building with every win, is becoming a better and better manager as he goes. And his proof to me was him getting out there last night and putting his face in the face of the umpire saying, "You suck. How about that? You suck at your job. Or at least you sucked tonight with this guy." And you know what that's going to make it? That people who, other umpires are going to watch that and they're going to say, "I can't call that pitch on Aaron Judge or Aaron Boone is going to come out and yell at me. I need to be conscious as this giant is in the box that if it's at his ankles, even though it looks like a strike to me here, I need to make the adjustment." That's good managing. And as Aaron Judge, I love that.
Diver, you haven't said much this show at all, man. And it's almost time to go.
I'm still elated from the Brewers fever dream.
Yeah, that must be it. Spencer Howard. Actually, Levi Weaver wrote a story about how the the Rangers' young arms have been kind of disappointing this year, and the young, like the minor league arms. And he brought up Spencer Howard, who's been okay, has a 0.87 whip and 19 strikeouts in 15 innings, but a 5.40 ERA in his last three starts. Is that, Diver, is that heartening or disheartening for you if you're looking at someone, you know, deeper league, let me grab someone who might be up in a couple weeks and doing well?
I'm in on Spencer Howard as a deeper league pitcher that might actually be useful later this season. He's gone at least five innings in five straight starts at AAA. It's hard to pitch in AAA. The Ks have been there. Control's been a little better the last three times out. Hasn't had a home run problem. I mean, if we're talking about if Dean Kramer is relevant in your league right now, Spencer Howard will probably be relevant in that same league later on this season.
Good. How about Garrett Hill? Tigers minor leaguer is having a season.
What is he doing?
In Erie, I guess. 2.25 ERA, 52 strikeouts in 32 innings, 0.91 whip. Looks like he went to Toledo and has gotten knocked around just a little bit, but more recently he's been great. I mean, his season lines right now, 3.39 ERA, 91 Ks in 63 and two-thirds, 1.084 whip. That's good.
Do we know how hard he throws? Does he have high velocity? Or is he doing it with smoke and mirrors?
I gotta say 96.7.
Wow.
Well, wait, you're just making that up.
Yeah, I'm saying that.
96.7.
I'm making that up.
96.7 is pretty good.
And with an 83 off speed.
Here's what you got. I just found this real quick searching for him. Fangraphs, older depth arms is the group they put him in when they were breaking down the Tigers system back in January. Tigers didn't protect him from the Rule 5 draft this past offseason, mostly sat 91 to 94 during his fall league stint. Breaking ball, especially a slider, harder than it was during the regular season. Has a splitter for an out pitch. Four pitch spot starter type is what they labeled him as.
Nice. How old? Striking out a lot of guys for a spot starter.
He's 26 already.
I don't mind 26. I kind of like 26.
He's the same age as Bly Madras.
There you go. That's what I mean.
Well, actually, not really.
He's five. There you go. Now that's our out. That's our pullback. That's our Seinfeld moment where we bring it all back around.
We should go then.
Yep.
That's next week. We'll keep Ken Giles in for next week. And Narciso Crook.
And Rylan Bennett, 1.424
right
OPS the last 2 weeks. Don't discount the fact that he went down to the minors. He goes back down. He goes, you know what? I'm a major league player now playing in AAA. I can do this. And now I'm going to go back up to the major leagues and I'm going to hit. I really do think that works.
And hey, keep an eye on Nick Senzel because he got hot.
Oh, dude, Senzel, you were so right all week. I'm like, Senzel. Oh, Senzel stole another base. All week I was like, Nando.
Yeah.
Nando.
He's got a couple steals. He's got like a couple multi-hit games, multi-hit games. He's got
he's
that
doing
average
good.
Up.
He had a really good week.
Yeah.
Gets on base with catcher's interference a lot.
Does he really?
Yeah, it's really strange.
What more could you ask for?
I feel like catcher's interference you should get a hit out of. It shouldn't be like an error. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's an error, but like it's a skill.
Yeah, it's an error.
Yeah.
All right, we gotta go. Let's go now. I think we've hit that time.
For the man
who's gonna be burning his team DVR hats for Brewers ones.
I'll never do it. I'll make the team DVR hats the same color as a Brewers hat just to blend in.
For the man who's going to have to explain to Zeb Smathers tomorrow why he has seven new fantasy baseball followers. Ian Cass.
Zeb Smathers is going to be really good about that because Zeb Smathers likes followers.
Zeb Smathers, if you go look him up right now, everyone listening, is about one-third the age that you think he is.
Dude, Zeb Smathers is a future senator from the state of North Carolina, and I got stories about Zeb Smathers. 35 years old, mayor. My daddy was the mayor. My grandpappy was the mayor, and I'm the mayor, and I dealt with the flood, and we used some of our money for a fire truck. And a fire truck ain't just about a fire truck. It's about hope. Fire truck is about hope.
Now do Ariel Cohen doing Zeb Smathers. Then we got to go.
I can't.
All right, fine. We got to go. Thank you all for listening. Good luck with your teams. Don't piss off your Dynasty League mates. We'll see you later. Bye.
Good talk. Bye.